Hey there, and welcome to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. I am not your host today. As a matter of fact, Mr. Clay Weldon, the founder of 321 Go Project, is your host, and he is joined by Hobie Darling. That's a name you don't know. At least I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you don't know that name. Now, gosh, one of the questions I get asked a lot about this show is, who are your favorite interviews, or who are some of the best guests that you've had on the show? And almost unanimously, the best content on this show is sometimes the least downloaded of the content that we put out. And I get it. Like, I get it. You guys love to see, like, the name of your heroes and your sort of CrossFit celebrities in the titles. But there are some people that have been on this show that have provided tremendous context and value around owning a gym. Today's episode is absolutely the clear example of one of these. Hobie, I would say, is probably the most successful and accomplished person who has ever been on this podcast, by a long shot. And you'll get an idea. You'll listen to this and get an idea of how Hobie's career has played out. And one thing that he has done exceptionally well at is creating a culture in the organizations that he has stepped into. One of the best stories is when Hobie was tapped as CEO of Skullcandy, and he talks about some of the difficulties of that experience, but he also talks about, hey, what does it look like to step into an organization and completely flip the script on the culture of that organization? When I think about what it means to be a gym owner, it is unequivocally creating a culture amongst your staff and your athletes. There's something that Hobie says in this interview: how do we interact with each other, and how do we interact with our customers? That's what we need to set into motion. So how does your staff interact with each other? How does our culture and our values permeate our interactions with one another? And then how does that flow through into our relationship with our athletes? Do not miss this episode. Listen to it. Absorb it. Listen to this episode twice. This, I think, is the thing that differentiates the good gyms from the great gyms. Not how well do you market, not how great are your standard operating procedures, not what is your on-ramp process. There's plenty of examples of super successful gyms that have wildly different business models. I don't know an example of a single successful gym that does not have their core values and their culture dialed in. When that culture and those core values permeate every aspect of what you do, you're going to have a successful business. The business model, the revenue model, all of these things will fall into place. Your marketing will take care of itself once you have this culture and this story that you can then market. But you need that first before you get the cart in front of the horse. You need to have that culture and those core values dialed in. So, this month on our Hub platform, we are talking about leadership, culture, and productivity. This is a great time for you, the gym owner, to begin thinking about these things. Who am I as a leader? What is our culture? What is our core values? And then what does that mean at the end of the day? That's awesome if, like, you have these core values that you subscribe to, But does that really seep into everything that you do? Like, if you're honest, does it actually mean something in your gym? Could you go grab any athlete in your gym right now and get a rough idea of what you stand for as a gym? If not, I recommend that you dig into this month's content in the Hub. Again, we're focusing exclusively on these, you know, I would consider them like soft skills in business, but things that are super, super important. So if you're not a member of the Hub platform, get in there. I mean, if you want to make changes in your business, I mean, if you're like, if things are groovy right now, and you know, you just like listen to the podcast, whatever the case may be, totally cool. But if you actually want to begin to change some things in your business, use these resources. They're online courses. There are templates, everything. Super low barrier to entry, like $69 a month, and you get access to all of these things. Additionally, let's say that you have been learning. You've been taking online courses. You've been listening to podcasts. You've been hammering through audiobooks, all that good stuff, but you can't seem to jumpstart it. Maybe you need a little bit of accountability. Hop into one of our M3 groups, Momentum Mastermind groups, and have a little accountability. Meet with other gym owners. See what's working. See what's not. Have a support system in place to help you change your business. Additionally, I want to give a big shout out to our partner with today's show, InBody USA. The first of the year is right around the corner. People are going to be super stoked about nutrition. And I would say it's a good opportunity for, if you're ready to step it up to the next level, put in some high value machinery and data points, the InBody is a great way to get really quick body fat analysis for your athletes. You know, numbers that matter. You know, in my gym, we talked a ton about ditching the scale. Get rid of the scale. Stop weighing yourself. It doesn't mean anything. And I'll give you an example. We have in my gym, we have a private coaching, a one-on-one athlete that we've been working with for years, working on some body composition goals. And recently, we've been really hammering all of these things. And she actually saw her weight actually went up, but her body fat percentage went down. Her lean tissue increased. Now, had I not had this as a measurement tool, it would be very difficult to have that conversation. But it's this objective metric that you're sharing. I'm also using my machine to launch some corporate wellness programs next week. So that's, you know, it's the opportunities are pretty limitless with this thing. It is not a magic bullet. It's an expensive piece of equipment. But if you use it, if you leverage it, it can be a great tool in your gym. So if you're interested, get in contact with John Ross. His email is in the show notes. You can go to InBodyUSA.com. You can email me if you have any questions about the machine. And yeah, check out, there's a they're offering a promo for just the listeners of this show. I'll include the details in the show notes there. But at any rate, enjoy today's show. It is such a great episode with Hobie Darling. Thanks for listening. Please go into iTunes, subscribe to the show, and leave us a review. That's how people find the show. That's how we continue to get awesome guests. We'll see you next week.
We are super excited to have Hobie Darling with us today. He is a good old friend of mine back in the days when, oh my gosh, when was it when I met you? We met at the Strength Wraps booth. that was so random, back at the CrossFit Games not the Home Depot Center, the StubHub, that's right.
You're exactly right. Oh, it's so funny you say that. I'd actually forgotten that because we got together. And then just by serendipity, worked out at Chris's gym later on in Park City. Crazy. Yeah, that's totally right. You go way back, Clay. I totally forgot about that.
I'm not good with anything else. I'm really good with just visuals and stuff like that. So Hobie's been a great friend. Hobie is, I know a lot of you may not know Hobie. A lot of the other speakers, of course, you know who they are. But Hobie comes extremely respected. Apart from his background, Hobie is a really, really good, genuine guy who honestly just goes after everything that he does. So I thought it would be awesome to have Hobie on here to talk about culture and to share some advice that he's applied to really, really large businesses and honestly turned a lot of those businesses around and has done some amazing things. A quick background on Hobie. Hobie's worked on honestly some of the most inspiring and innovative companies out there. He's worked as, let's see, a global general manager for Nike Sport. You were president and CEO of Skullcandy. You're currently working with Logitech Brands as president of sports and high performance. I didn't even know they had that division, which is awesome.
Just kicking it off.
I know. And then you're on the board of directors for Jaybird Sports, Ragnar Relays, Athletigen, is that how you pronounce it? Which
yep.
They're doing, you need to check them out. If you anybody that's listening, that's a really cool company as well. And then PowerDot. And then this last one, which is really cool, Special Operations Forces Warrior Outdoor Leadership for the Future, WOLF. Okay, that last one is really awesome. What is WOLF?
Yeah, absolutely. So WOLF is an organization that, you know, I wish I could say it in a really, you know, inspiring way, but unfortunately it's one of those organizations that comes about because we have people that serve our country and unfortunately sometimes they don't come back home from being downrange. And so WOLF is an organization that is for kids who one of their parents was killed in action, usually from the special forces ranks. And we try to provide mentoring, job skills, outdoor skills to in some very small way try to say thank you for their loss, but also give them some of the skills that maybe a parent you know, gave as well. So it's one of those where every time you go meet with those kids, man, they're just awesome kids. And one, they're just so real. They're like every other kid. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, they just have parents that have done amazing things and have given the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And to keep going, gosh, this was really cool. I didn't know this about you. You were named to the Sporting Goods Business 40 Under 40. And you've contributed to CNBC, Fast Company, Fortune, Bloomberg, MTV, Thrive Magazine, and the Wall Street Journal. Just on all types of topics, business, workplace culture, and innovation. So, man, that's awesome. You live in Park City, which, yeah, I'm always jealous following your Instagram account, buddy. I'm not going to lie. I tend to live my life through you a little bit. The workout you just did was insane. You did some amazing workouts. So if you're looking for someone who's living a really fun, fulfilled life, follow Hobie Darling on Instagram. He's doing some really cool stuff with his life. He's got two beautiful daughters and a beautiful wife, Alana, that are just all friends of ours. He was a certified CrossFit Level 1 trainer and has competed. Each year, him and his buddies pick out something crazy to do. And this year, what are you doing this year?
Yeah, this year. So as you hit it, Clay, every year we do, we call it a crucible event. And the idea is, you know, very CrossFit-y here, but how are you always getting better? How are you better, you know, tomorrow than you were today? And so each year we pick something that we go, man, this makes us scared enough to really have to train hard and probably do something that's maybe a little out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So as an example, I guess it was 3 years ago, we went down to Seal Fit and did Kokoro. I've done 50-mile trail race. This year we're doing the Spartan Ultra Beast, which is a 26 mile plus mountain race with I think it's about 60 or 70 obstacles.
Wow.
I take, gosh, I don't know, 10 or 12 hours. Now people are gonna go look at my time, it's gonna take 15 and be like, oh my gosh, man, I really blew that.
Hey.
But yeah, so we're doing that in a couple of weeks coming up, so it should be pretty fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, awesome. We're so glad to have you. You just got such amazing background. And apart from your background, you just have so much great stuff to share. So let's get into it. I know just you being involved with so many cool companies and us being friends, the one of the things that you've always felt that separated, you know, like winners from losers and people that were average from the people that were great was culture, right? Can you define what culture means to you and then just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a great question, you know, and whether it's, I think back to, as you said, you know, running a big division of Nike or Fulcrum or, you know, running Skullcandy and, you know, all of those businesses, I think one thing that they really had in common is they had great cultures, you know, and I think that just that narrative gets thrown around a lot of, oh, what's a great culture? What does that mean? And I think not to get too precise on it, because I think it's a little bit of an imprecise topic in a good way, But I, when I think about it, it's that part that goes, hey, when people walk into your business, you know, whether that's a box or that's your, you know, walking into 15,000 people at headquarters at Nike, you know, what is that aligned vision that we all have? What are those values that we all create as norms on how we interact, how we do things, what that looks like? What is that mission that we have that brings us all together? You know, and I think you take all those words and they're kind of like, oh, okay, you know, that's just a bunch of words. What does that really mean? But I think that big one for me goes, is it's really that way, you know, even if we think of ourselves as friends, right, Clay, that goes, hey, what is the culture that we have towards each other and how we interact? It's that defined set of norms, you know, i.e. you call up and go, hey, you know, I'm putting on this really rad seminar. Would you be willing to talk for 30 minutes, right? And our culture is, hey, we're great friends. I'll do whatever you need. You'll do whatever I need. And we make that happen. But I think that's the part of just how do people come together and how do they interact? And at least for me, what I've seen, and I think this has even changed, Clay, like if you take over the last, you know, 15 or 20 years where, you know, there were a lot of things in business that could give you a strategic advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be you could go buy the most innovative thing and throw it into your business or gym. You know, it might be that you had more resources than somebody else did, more money to go spend on ads, whatever it was. Like that was something we had at Nike. It was great. We happen to be a big company. And I think the thing I learned over time, and when you look at businesses today, it's not always the big guys that are winning anymore, right? Like, I mean, one of the things that we would talk about a lot at Nike is who made us the most nervous. It was the small little companies that were super segmented, doing something totally different that had a ton of passion. And I think one of the things that I learned around that was, you know, when you take people around this aligned vision and you really have their heart in what they're doing, you know, you will always, for the most part, win when you do that. And I think that's a big part of that cultural part for me that goes, you know, how do you align that vision with getting people excited about it? So it's not they just walk in every day, punch a clock, do what they need to do, and then they move out. And to me, as you look forward in the world, especially, I mean, that is the greatest competitive advantage that we have in business. And I think number two is it's what makes stuff fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, life's just too short. You know, if you go on average, we're going to have 75 years to be on this planet and you could get run over by a car anytime, you know, why would you not make it fun and have something where you're giving back to a group of people around you?
I love it. I love it. Do you have any, do you have some rules around culture that you like to think about? You know, like a few key points. We want to make this as practical as possible for these gym owners that are saying, yeah, awesome, you've got huge companies, but you worked with huge companies, but what's it look like for me? Like, how do you set some structure around building a culture?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Clay. And I think the first one that I think about goes, how do you make sure in your organization you have a mission that people are passionate about? And I'll give you an example that, you know, that goes to Skullcandy. When I joined Skullcandy, you know, Skullcandy had gone from being a, you know, wildly successful brand, went public, and then ran into some issues, you know, around it, you know, of what a, of both from a top line perspective, bottom line perspective, people perspective. And one of the things I found with that business, and I could take it to all the other businesses as well, though, was when we made an internal shift that said, hey, how we think about ourselves today is we sell headphones. And you know what you do with headphones? After a year or two, you throw them in the garbage and then you've just contributed, you know, to a big dump somewhere. So you can look at our business and go, oh my gosh, we create plastic stuff that gets thrown in the garbage, you know, or you can go, actually, we have this amazing brand platform that allows us to help people, to inspire them to live life at full volume, i.e. go hit that jump if you haven't hit it before, get back up on that stage and, you know, pull your guitar back out, whatever those things were. But, you know, how do you push yourself? And I think one of the things we found on that was when we got to a spot where we went, hey, you know what your job is? No matter what, if you're in this company, your job is to inspire people to really live big lives. And that's what we are as a company. And it completely transformed our culture, again, from all of the conversations purely being, you know, either a financial conversation or purely a product conversation, to know the greatest thing we can give from a platform perspective, you know, is this inspiration. And I think, you know, to use your point as a box as an example, one of the things I think is great you know, if you take a box, is you go, again, you can either look at your mission and go, hey, my mission is I'm just trying to make X amount of dollars, you know, to get by and be done. And, you know, that's it. Or you can go, no, you know what my mission is? And I'm just making this up, you know, but it's every person who walks through my door, I get to help them live more fulfilling lives, be stronger, healthier. And everyone that walks in here, that's what I'm trying to do. Right. And so I think that's one of the first ones. How do you really set that mission? Because what that starts to do is it starts to go, how do your customers interact with you? But maybe even more importantly, it starts to go, how do all of your trainers interact with you and the customers? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's where you really start to have a difference. Because again, you take a trainer and you go, you know, let's say on average, that person is, let's call it 30 years old. You know, this is what they're doing. They're making $30,000 a year doing it. And they can either walk in and be like, okay, hey, we're doing Fran 21-15-9. You know, here we go. Go get them. I'm going to go sit over here and have a drink of water and watch. Right. Or they can be the person that is absolutely going, oh my gosh, I am here to get the best out of this person every day and to excite them. And when they see that mission and that's the mission that you're living, they then do it. I think that's what creates a big part of the community. So I think number one on that culture piece is how do you have a mission that really aligns and how do you take that mission and bring it throughout your organization so that everybody gets it? So I'd say that's, you know, if there was nothing else, that's almost number one.
Sure.
You know, it's do you understand what your mission is? Do you understand why you exist?
Yeah.
And again, I think it's that part that goes, people will do amazing things if you let them, number one, and number two, if they're inspired to go do them, and number three, if they know where to go, right? People will do amazing things. They will absolutely just amaze you at every turn, you know, with what they're capable of, I think, inspiring people. So I think that's number one, really establishing that mission, vision piece so that people know where to go. I think the second one that goes into culture is every moment that you don't think you're defining culture, you are. Mm-hmm. So you can either choose to be really clear what your culture is, right? And say, this is who we are as a group, i.e. as a team, our mission is to inspire people who come into this gym every day to live the most healthy lifestyles they possibly can to reach their full potential, right? And then have that piece. But then, you know, after that goes all of the time, you know, around setting that culture that goes, how we do that is we are, you know, making these up a little bit, but I'll take them from one of my last businesses. We are optimistic. We are team first. We are passionate about our mission, et cetera, right? And when you set that up front and you go, this is how we do it, number one. But then number two, really importantly, realizing that you are setting your culture, no matter what you put up on a wall that says, this is our mission, this is what we do. Everything that you do as a box owner, as a CEO, as a leader, you are setting your culture. So if you say, as an example, you know, we are optimistic, and then you walk in every day and go, oh my gosh, I don't know how this is going to go. Are we going to make it? You know, you have just broken it. So I think it's that part that goes, how do you really align what you want to be, define it, make that vision, and then realize that you are setting that culture with every move that you make. And I think one of the things that's really powerful for me in that, and, you know, I used to hear a lot is people would say, well, okay, that's cool, but how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've found that works really well is actually looking for opportunities to show what your culture is. Mm-hmm. So one of the things they do at Nike, as an example, is Nike has what are called its maxims, right? And those essentially are the incarnations of pieces of Nike's culture, of how it acts within Nike, and what you do, i.e., you know, one of them is when you come into the organization, you're a sponge. So just take stuff in, you know, as you go. That's important. We are a learning culture. Mm-hmm. But setting those, but then the more important part, you know, becomes when the person who's your boss, you know, goes, hey, right now you're just being a sponge. You don't need to make a call right now, even though we're in a tough spot. You know, so finding those places, I think, where you can really reinstill. And so at Skull Candy, as an example, one of the things that we would do is we had monthly all company meetings. So, you know, whatever, 300, 400 people, we get everybody together on the webcam. And at the end of it, and the part that we most celebrated was, hey, here are our values as a culture, and here are people that live them, and here's what they did. And then we would always recognize it. You know, a lot of the times we would give some reward. I can tell you monetary usually matters very little to people compared to being given a high five. But I think those parts where you come together, you know, and go, hey, here are people that are living our vision, even in a box, if there are, you know, only four trainers, you know, going, did you see what Jimmy did? Jimmy did this. He helped that person get through this workout. That goes exactly with who we are, you know, as a culture. And I think really trying to, you know, really trying to bring those out. So I think that's a really, really important part of just how do you show that culture and how do you continually instill it? I think one of the other ones for me, and I think it's really applicable from a CrossFit perspective. You know, when you look at the people that do go, hey, I want to go in and beat myself up, you know, 5 days a week for an hour, and I want to go hard, and that's who I am. Is that part of it? How do you form some bonding moments, both with your people that are within your gym and with your trainers and the other people, you know, that work within your gym? And we used to do that a lot. I'll use the Skull Candy example again. Is we just had very set times where it was Fridays. We used to do this thing, we call it Mountain Meltdown. We sort of copied something Chris used to do for a race. And we'd go get our employees and they'd all meet at the base of the Utah Olympic Park. And we'd go, okay, 3 mile run, 100 burpees along the way, 250 air squats, 500 push-ups. When you get to the top, you know, get up there and make sure that the last person who, you know, is making their way up, you get back behind them and everybody helps each other back up the whole way. And those sound like they're, you know, like, oh, whatever, you're just going out for a workout. But the fact of the matter is, no, you are setting culture, you know, by those bonding instances. So I think anytime you can take your group and go out and do things that do bond, there's nothing I've ever seen that bonds people like doing something hard together. You know, you see a lot of people, and I mean, you know this super well, Clay, with you and Julie, and, you know, you so often, you know, people go, oh, let's go have drinks. You know, let's go have lunch. Let's go do this. And you're like, ah, you know, you kind of create this superficial culture with people around you. And then you go, man, let's go do something gnarly, right? What does that look like? And I think it does two things. One, I think it establishes culture. But the other thing I really believe that it does is, and I've always wanted to do this, and you'll laugh at this, Clay, but at every job I've ever had where I was a CEO or whether I was a president, I wanted to have a test, and it wasn't a test that said, how in shape are you? It wasn't a test that said, you know, how quickly can you do this? But it was taking that mountain meltdown and going, okay, you know, again, 3 mile run, you know, 1,000 feet of vertical, whatever, blah, 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 name something else really hard, and just go, what do people do? One, do they just keep moving? Because I know when I bring that back into culture, I know that's someone who's never going to quit.
Sure.
Two, do they just run off and leave all their friends, or do they come back, you know what I mean, and help them back up? Three, how do they? Do they cheat on their push-ups and cheat on their burpees as they start to get tired? But I think those are all things, you know what I mean? And it's one of the amazing things that, you know, we all have of being in a place that is around physical fitness. You can do those things and go, okay, how are these people going to interact in my culture of what I want things to look like? You know, so those are a couple things that I think about, you know, when I think about culture. But again, I think the biggest thing for me, if I were even to pull it back again, after you have that mission vision, is it's one going, hey, we want to have a strong culture. So let's identify that. Cause again, culture is being set, whether you like it or not, it is always being set. And then the one that I found more than anything else, and again, goes to high performance and it goes to culture, is just showing that you care. And that sounds funny, you know, kind of after all the stuff, you know, we've been talking about, but it's just that part that goes, man, it's amazing the teamwork, camaraderie, joy that you get when you care about the people around you, you know, and I know you live this, you know, in your heart so well, Clay. But it's that part that goes, you know, I think as you establish culture, going, I'm in service to this culture and I'm in service to all the people that are around me as a leader. And instead of I tell people what to do, It's okay, here's where we want to go by mission, because that's really important. Hey, now I'm in service to how do we make sure that happens? Mm-hmm. And again, it's amazing to me. I've seen so many people, you know, that come in and they have great credentials and they've done amazing stuff. And all they do is just, you know, it's just bark orders. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And your culture becomes one of, I sit back and I listen and I don't do anything that I'm not told to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And you just took the heart out of that person and out of your culture versus that part that goes, hey, I care about our mission. I care about you. I care about where we're going. How can we be in service to each other? So to me, I guess if I was actually going to take one out, I'd be like, hey, really go establish your mission and vision with your team.
Sure.
Because people want to be part of that. And then how do you show each other that you deeply care about each other, you know, as you go about doing it?
Yeah, no, you said so many awesome things in there. And I had questions throughout and I just didn't want to cut you off because it was so great. The thing that I got from what you said, the biggest thing is that culture ultimately starts with you. You're the core of it. And you started off by saying, if you're not clear in your mission, then you're right. Everything will distract you. The example that you gave of like that mountain meltdown that you do on the Fridays, you know what? That person and that test that you do for that person does not decide right then whether they're going to stick through it or not. They had already decided that. Mm-hmm. Like they had already decided what their mission. Maybe they didn't write it down or spell it out, but in their brain, they knew that they would never give up and that whatever was in front of them, it was just a matter of getting through it. Most likely with other people that are around them. You know, one thing that I've really found all the interviews that we've already done is these people, and this is not a slam against these people because they're very brilliant people, but they don't have to be the brightest people. What is the difference maker between these successful people and people that are really respected is this drive, this core belief in themselves that they know very, very clearly where they want to be. And because they're so clear on it, other people who may not be as clear want to be part of what they're doing. So it's like this incredible, like awesome circle. It's like they keep getting more because these people want to become part because their vision and their mission is so big and strong that it brings people along. So for a gym owner, you're absolutely right. It's not about your members. Like your members will follow if you have a clear mission and then your team understands your mission, your members will just embrace that.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, exactly what you said on that, Clay. You know, and I think that drive part is right on. It's not how smart you are that determines how far you go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's do you have the drive to do it? Do you get back up? You know, and I know you've seen, you know, all these studies of, you know, where the Navy commissioned in, you know, a bunch of consultants to come in and go, how do we get more people through BUDS? Not to bring the standards down, but it costs so much to have someone go through BUDS. Mm-hmm. How do we create a better process? What is the number one thing that we should be screening for of who will get through BUDS, right? And after a couple $1 million of this study, they came back and they go, oh, the people who will get through BUDS, you know, again, going back, they think, oh, is it people who are great swimmers? Mm-hmm. You know, is it people who went to great high schools or colleges? Is it people who have a college degree? Is it, you know, an IQ of this? And they came back and the answer that they gave, it's the people who are the most resilient.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank you. Thank you for that $2 million answer. You know, but I think it's what you just hit. You know, that's mm-hmm. that drive that goes, I know I want to get from A to B, one. Two, that is a worthwhile thing to go do. So I know my why, right? Yes. I know my mission on why I want to get there. And three, I will just never stop mm-hmm. to go do it. Mm-hmm. I will just keep moving forward. And I think the part that you said too, you know, that goes, people want to rally around something that's great. Everybody. Right? Including me. I know, including you, every day, you know, we want to wake up and go, oh my gosh, I made the world a better place today. I made someone's day better. I'm, you know, all of those things. And so I think when we can set up cultures that allow people to do that, and again, I think that allow part is really important. Because if you haven't made it clear, you know, that, hey, the number one thing we do in here is, again, inspire people to their full potential within the gym to live better lives, whatever it is, you know, to do that, then it's, you're just a gym. You know, it's just people walking in, paying a paycheck and throwing some weights around.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I've seen over and over again, you know, is once you find people that do have that drive, you have that drive, then everything starts a flywheel. And what I mean by that is at first, you know, it's hard to get that flywheel going, but then it just starts going faster and faster. And everyone who's a new trainer and everyone who's a new member just catches right onto that culture and that flywheel. And so you go from being this small group that's sort of setting mission, vision, being really driven, to just a group that grows and grows and grows and grows and just becomes more powerful. But it's very, very clear, you know, around where they go. So I totally agree.
That's great. I love that. I there's so many awesome points to that. So with all that said, let's say I'd even go out on a limb and say that if you're leading this, you're the captain of your gym, you're the owner, you're the one that's pushing this forward. If your why or your mission isn't strong enough and you don't really understand it and you don't really believe in that, you probably should go work at another gym. Like, but if your why is big enough and that you see a vision of where you want to take your gym and it's more than just generating a paycheck, then you need to be super clear on that and your team members will kind of embrace that and get behind you. So what can people do? Let's say they're like, yeah, man, I'm in. Like, I want to build a really strong culture. I want to really understand my why and my mission. Like, what can people do tomorrow or what can they do today?
Yeah. You know what? I want to comment on one of the things you said, Clay, because it's so right. You know, when you said, hey, if the final outcome that you're looking for is a paycheck, the chances of you creating greatness are very low, right? If you go a paycheck and financials are a lagging indicator of, am I doing a great job with my mission? You'll probably make a ton of money, you know? And the other thing that you said there that I love, you know, and I'll go back to, you know, some of these kids at Wolf, is that, you know, the part that goes, their parents didn't die for money, right? Very few people will give the ultimate sacrifice. Very few people will even work more than 50 hours a week, you know, at the end of the day for money. But people will die for ribbons, glory, missions, you know, all those things. And I say that from a perspective, a very positive perspective that goes, again, if you have a mission that is so strong that's about changing lives for the positive, people will do almost anything to help you get there and to help your customers get there and your fans to get there. So I couldn't agree more with you around that. So to answer your question, I think, you know, what can I go do tomorrow if I'm a gym owner? Number one, I would go and I would grab my team and I would say, hey, you know what? Culture is super important to us. Let's just put that on the table. And here's who we want to be. Right. And that's that mission part. And I'd spend some time with your trainers, with other people in your gym going, you know, why do we all show up here, you know, at 5 a.m. for the 5 a.m. class or at 9 o'clock for the 9 o'clock class, whatever it is, why do we show up here and why does it matter? Right. Why do we really care? And I get really firm. And a lot of people, you know, I think leave it at that point. It's just like, oh, it's all kind of in our minds. And not to sound overly geeky, but write it down. Just words matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to go, yeah, we kind of know what our mission is. Write it down. Just write it down and have everybody go through it and then sleep on it and go, does that inspire you to want to come in? Does that inspire you to want to help the people at the gym? And if everyone isn't shaking their head going, yeah, it does, then keep tweaking. Keep tweaking. And finally, you may get to a point where you go, hey, you know what? This person just doesn't fit. And that's okay, right? With our mission, we need to determine that. But let's figure out what that mission is, which I think leads into number two, which goes, once you've established that mission, establish what are the values that you work under, right? And those are things like, on a daily basis, here is how we treat each other. Here are the things that we think are important. Here's what makes it joyous for us to come to work today. Right. But again, write them down and go, are you aligned in how we treat each other? You know, i.e., are we a culture of accountability and respect? If so, what that means and how we interact with each other means, hey, things get done on time, but I also, you will never find me yelling at you because we have deep respect. I will hold you accountable, absolutely, because we are going for the podium. To accomplish our mission, we have to be the best in the world. But you'll never see me yell in the gym. And by the way, if that was one of our values and you're yelling at one of the other people, you're done. Because that's not aligned to our values, which goes into number three, which is that part that make very clear once you set that mission and values that this is how we live. Because the absolute best thing you can do is when you set those, come up with examples of them and continually show what you're doing. The worst thing you can do is to set them and then break them with no consequences, right? So the number three one would be make sure that people know this is how we act with each other. This is how we act with our customers. And then do we all, you know, do we all get that? Because again, your culture is not what you're necessarily going to write down on the paper. It's what you're then, how you're going to treat each other. You're going to treat the people around you once you've done that. And then I think the last one that I would do is I would immediately find things, whether it's on a weekly basis, monthly basis, but something that bonds your team together. Whether it's, again, like with my teammates, if I go back to Skullcandy, you know, we took this idea of a crucible event where we said, hey, every year, everyone's going to have a full potential goal. Everyone in the company is going to do something or give it everything they got to do something that they have always wanted to do, but have never been able to do it. And you're going to have 300 or 400 people that have your back to go make sure that that happens. Those moments are amazing, right? When you're all backing each other for a singular purpose. So I think I would think of things, whether again, that's that Friday workout, whether that's, you know what, we're all going to go find this gnarly thing to go do. And it doesn't have to be physical, by the way. It could be, you know what, we're all going to go learn how to play guitar because at the holiday party, we're going to sing a song to our members. Whatever it is,
sure,
but that bonding thing. So I think those would be some of the things I would immediately go out and do.
Hobie, those are great. One thing that you said was really enlightening to me is the fact that you said initially you started by saying writing them down is super important, but ask if they inspire you. So that is such a great question to ask because you think of mission statements, oh, they're cheesy or they don't really have anything. They sound good, you know, but do they actually inspire your team? First of all, it'll give you incredible clarity around your mission to make sure that they are inspiring. And then second of all, it'll probably open your eyes to the people that maybe are not a good fit. Because as a team, if those things are inspiring, but someone else is like, ah, yeah, that's not really... okay, well, maybe you may not be a good fit for our team, you know? So it may open up some conversations to give some clarity or help someone realize, hey, man, you know what? Maybe it is time for me to move on, or just validation.
It's such a great point you make there. Because I think the other one is, you know, people are always scared for the most part of going, hey, you know what? You can't be part of this team anymore.
Yeah.
Or did we hire the right person? And once you really start to make on that checklist that goes, hey, here's who we're hiring. And when that values and culture part come up high, you know, i.e., is this going to be part of your band of brothers and sisters? Because you're going to spend a lot of time with them. And again, if we're going to accomplish our mission, then we've got to be really good, you know? And I use, you know, just being in Park City and used to live in Park City, you know, it's that part of when you think about Olympians and the people that truly are the best in the world, right? It's not okay to just be okay every day, right? You have to make a decision that goes, I am deciding to be the best in the world. And so every time that I don't go out when I'm on that mountain, on that jump, whatever it is, and give exactly what I need to give to be the best in the world, there's no way I'm going to accomplish my mission or my vision of winning that gold medal, inspiring my country, you know, being able to say thank you to all the people that have helped me along the way. And sometimes you just have to be able to go to people that are not aligned to that culture and hopefully that excellence. And part of the things that you do, and you got to view it as a positive, is just go, hey, you know what, this is where we're going. And man, I care about you and I love you, but you know, you're just not right for this journey. Sure. And what you'll find for the most part is they go, gosh, I knew that a long time ago.
100%.
You know?
So Hobie, so, okay, why do you think I'm not a CrossFit Games Masters athlete? Why do you think? I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't know. I think we did that. What was it we were doing, Clay? I think it was handstand pushups. And I kind of thought that I was like, you know, badass that I got in there. And I think it was handstand pushups to 100. And I think you beat me by about 20 reps as we were going into that. So what I know out of that, Clay, is you have the absolute potential to be, an athlete in your age group next year. So I'm expecting to see you there.
Okay. Well, that wasn't what the point I was trying to make. And thanks for that. My point is I don't want it enough.
I don't totally agree.
Am I capable of it? Probably, but I don't want it enough. So, and it, honestly, it's not something that, like, it's not one of those driving passions for me to be a games athlete. Yes, CrossFit is important to me, but I don't want it enough. So I'll never get to my potential there. But there's other things in my life. Growing 3-2-1 Go to be a best can be. Yes, it can be 100%. That drives me every day. So for gym owners, what you said is so important. When a gym owner sits down and says, okay, culture, yes. Pull it back. Mission, yes. Okay, what do I want to do with my life? And if you don't want it enough, if you don't want to be like the best, then you are going to have to be okay with settling. You're going to have to be okay with settling because you're not capable of doing what it takes to get there. And you look around, and you're like, why is that gym so successful? Like, why does that person seem like all this good stuff happens to them all the time? It's not out of luck.
Yeah.
It's because they want it. And that is their goal, to be the best in their community. And so they're going to do whatever it takes to get there. So
it's
good. Yeah.
You're so right. You know, it's interesting you bring that one up, Clay, because I believe CJ is talking, and CJ is a good friend, and I could spend, some time with him. And, I think you take in another gym with Invictus where you go, they have such a strong culture, and all those things you said about CJ of, you just go, man, cares so much, is so driven for his athletes to do great things. I've never seen anyone work harder and want it more than he does. So I'll look forward to hearing his taping as well. It'll be great.
Excellent. So we need to wrap this up. Last thing I wanted to leave, do you have any good books or references you would suggest for people around culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's see. What are some of my favorites? I think a great one that I read it was probably about a year ago that was great, was a book called Advantage. That's a lot of the things that we're talking about, Clay, of, hey, if you take in today's world, your people and your culture are your greatest asset. So that's one that I've liked a lot. There's another great book, especially I think if you're in a situation where, either you need to radically accelerate what you're doing or a bit of a turnaround, which I've been in a couple, is a book called Turn This Boat Around, which is a great book if you haven't read it. About a captain of a boat that was the worst performing boat in the Navy. And how did he take it from being the worst performing boat in the Navy to routinely being the highest performing boat in the Navy within a short amount of time? So those are two that I absolutely love. Love Stanley McChrystal's book, Team of Teams, I think, on how do you establish culture? How do you get great high performance? So those are three that I've loved lately.
That's great. That's great. Well, Hobie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for tuning in this week to 3-2-1 Go podcast. A big thanks to Hobie Darling for being a part of it. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. As a reminder, again, if you want to dig into your culture, your leadership, your productivity, that is our focus for the month of November in the Hub platform, 321goproject.com/hub. Additionally, I want to give a huge thank you to our partner for today's show, Embody USA. They're offering a promo for our listeners. Information is in the show notes. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the show. Head over to iTunes. Leave us a review. And if you're interested, there's a group of us getting together in a couple weeks. It's short notice. We're going to be down in Charleston, South Carolina. We're going to be talking about these things. So join us. It's our gym owners gathering in Charleston, South Carolina. There's information at 321goproject.com. If you want to take a little retreat, get a little vacation in, but also learn some things, you'll be leaving with a couple of tools that will only be available to attendees. We're going to be creating game plans for 2018. So this is a super simple checklist for marketing, operations, for culture, for staff development, and for onboarding your new athletes, all the components of a successful gym. Additionally, over the course of the last several years, every time I've done business coaching with another gym owner, and I hear the same question multiple times, I have done some writing on that and created some action steps around each of those questions. So, guys, it's the questions you get all the time. You know, any recommendations for hiring new staff? How do you get more leads in the door? All this stuff. So I found all these things. I created a 90-day curriculum that will be included free for all attendees. It's called the On Planner. It's a 90-day business transformation, just daily practice and really getting pen to paper on making positive improvements in your business. So if you're interested in that, 321goproject.com. Find out more information on that Charleston gathering. Again, thank you for subscribing to the show. Thank you for leaving a review. And thank you for sharing this with a friend. We'll see you next week.